Very nice talk. I've always wondered about that. Why, without vibrato, for example, added, it just didn't sound natural. Mm-hmm. And I think you've made some steps toward identifying that. When you talk about spectrum slope, it brings to me up to my mind some of the things that I saw when I worked in the Stockholm laboratory. When I was there in 73-74, I worked on the synthesis by rule system with Granstrom and Carlson, and being a consonant person, I saw that it couldn't make good consonants because you couldn't have the spectrum slope transitions that you need in the transitions into and out of the consonants, the unvoiced consonants. And so we added that in and had wrote a paper on that. And as a result, we had the first synthesizer that could laugh, because that laughter in, highly involves the source spectrum. Mm-hmm. I think I gave a paper there where the synthesizer told a joke and then laughed afterwards. But then when I was very impressed with Musse, and I don't know if I did this in Stockholm or after I got back to Syracuse. Musse, for those that don't speak Swedish, means mouse. And
Mickey Mouse, actually. Mickey Mouse, actually. Musse Pig, yeah.
Well, I added, I duplicated Musse in Syracuse. I don't think I did this in Sweden. And I added Martin's interactive glottal excitation to it to make Mickey Musse. And I still have that in a very nice wooden box. It was a hardware version, because I was very disturbed that Musse couldn't laugh. But I think that the source spectrum variations are quite important.
Oh, yes. No, they're pivotal. I mean, we can't do without them, and we're probably not going to get them right until we put in the nonlinear source filter model that Ingo presented early on here. That gave me a lot of homework to do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, like in that crescendo, at the end of the crescendo, if you listen carefully, you always the natural voice ends up with an abduction, mm-hmm. and you could hear the source spectrum change.
Mm. Yes, yeah. We're looking forward to that.